And that's New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, who is on the line. Good morning, Premier.
Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Very well indeed. And I mentioned just a moment ago to you that we actually met at Hobart Airport a few weeks
back.
Yeah.
It was. I went down there for a friend's birthday and we went to visit Mona, which is a great
isn't
museum.
Yes, it's absolutely. We could do with one of those in Newcastle. Not everybody's cup of tea, but a wonderful tourist attraction, Mona.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, it was back in 2014 that our then Premier Mike Baird said that he wanted to see Newcastle transformed into the jewel of the Asia Pacific. Are you of a similar mind? Would you like to see Newcastle transformed into the jewel of the Asia Pacific?
Well, I think Newcastle is going through a major transformation and I'm thrilled about it. And that's, you know, part of the reason of my visit is, yes, I'm addressing a major lunch today, but I'm using the opportunity to go and talk to stakeholders and check up progress on the revitalisation. And I'm thrilled to pieces at how things are coming along. And I think, Richard, at the time, there were so many people who were negative and cynical about the process we started as a government. But I think now people are accepting Newcastle has enormous potential to become, a wonderful, thriving city. Not that it wasn't beforehand, but we have the opportunity to make it even bigger and better, and I'm really looking forward to the next few years.
You will be having a look at the progress so far on the light rail. Very expensive, given that it's only a couple of kilometres of light rail and it's costing a couple of $100 million. I think most people say, or the consensus seems to be, you can only justify the cost if it's the start of a more extensive light rail network. But I don't think there's any commitment yet from your government to extend it from what is already planned.
Well, that's the irony, Richard. Those people who initially opposed the light rail are now saying to us, extend it. And so that is definitely, part of our planning. We do envisage that this will be the start of a broader network through Newcastle and the Hunter, but you have to start. And the reason why it is more expensive, say, than the Canberra light rail is because it's what we call catenary-free. There won't be any overhead wires. We don't want any extra obstruction to the beautiful foreshore, and so it'll be wire-free. Which means it does add to the cost, but it gives a better product. And we were really mindful of that. There's no point revitalising a city if you crowd it out with unnecessary overhead wires, and that's why part of the cost is there, but I think justifiably.
One of the areas that people would like to see the light rail network extended to is Broadmeadow, particularly with this Broadmeadow concept plan being put forward, and I think there have been many people that have expressed interest and put forward ideas. The Knights have committed $10 million to a centre of excellence, and we're waiting on the state government, and I wonder if it might happen today that a commitment is given by your government for the other $10 million to make that centre of excellence actually happen at Broadmeadow, Premier.
Well, we're excited to be on the verge of making that announcement. It won't be today from me, Richard, but it's definitely on the cards. So I can give that bit away. But we're excited by what this precinct provides, because not only is it great for those sporting events that are regular items on the calendar in the Hunter and Newcastle, but, the Super 8 cars and also the recent global soccer matches and things, the events we've been holding in Newcastle are a tip of the iceberg, I think, for the future. We want to have the infrastructure ready and waiting for those major events. And I'm sure that many small businesses and people engaged in hospitality and tourism were over the moon with the number of people that came up and visit or come down and visit when there's a major event. And it does boost the economy, it does provide jobs, and then people stay on for a few days and then they come back because they love it so much. And so, we are very mindful that infrastructure isn't just great for locals, and that's really good because it helps people move it around. It doesn't just create jobs locally, but it also brings in a boost to the economy, and that's part of our plan. And what has thrilled me more than anything is since the revitalisation, we've seen employment grow in Newcastle. We're essentially going through a boom without the mining boom. That's the first time that's ever happened in Newcastle. Construction and infrastructure is really creating a boom in the region for the first time in the absence of a mining boom, and I think that augurs well for the future. Newcastle is so much more than just one or two industries. It is a flourishing, diverse economy, and I, for one, want to see more jobs created so people don't have to leave the region to get the best job in the world. They can actually stay in Newcastle and find something stimulating, rewarding for the rest of their careers. And And that, for me, is really important.
One of the big construction jobs just around the corner, enabling works has begun, and I think everybody's in agreement that the new hospital for Maitland is a plus. Your government had planned five hospitals, one of them being the new Maitland Hospital. I think four of them you've now made a commitment, will be 100% public hospitals. The only one where you haven't about-faced is this one at Maitland. And look, I spoke to Jenny Aitchison, the member for Maitland, last week, and she did say that Brad Hazzard had given a commitment that there would be some sort of a decision on that model before Christmas. Will it still be as it stands, this not-for-profit and public partnership, or will it be a 100% public hospital at New Maitland Hospital?
Well, I know Minister Hazzard is working through those issues. So obviously what we call a public-private partnership through a hospital means we can build a bigger hospital with bigger facilities. So it's a question of how we work through those processes, and the Minister is in touch with the local health professionals, and so he's working through those issues. So we'll do what we believe is in the best interest of the community. We do also take community sentiment into account, and in some communities, building a bigger, larger hospital is what the community wants. In other communities, they say, no, we want it to be completely public, which means the scope is different, and so we're looking at all those issues.
Mm. One of the issues that certainly there's been a lot of feedback on to governments around the country is a container deposit scheme, and I think a lot of people aren't happy about this return and earn scheme, that there are so few places where people can do that. I mean, we have a few, but there are many regional centres where there are none of these return and earn machine so far located, and there are obviously more on the way, but you're a bit disappointed about the rollout so far?
Oh, look, we always knew the first few months would be challenging. We always knew that what we call transition, like moving into the scheme and setting the scheme up, would be challenging. By the end of the year, we're hoping to have 300 sites across the state, and then by this time next year, there'll be at least 500. So we know that if we have more sites and it's more accessible to people, it will be a much better scheme. And so we're working on that, and in the next few months, people should notice a marked difference in the number of sites available.
The final report from the Royal Commission into the institutional responses for child sexual abuse were handed down on Friday, and obviously governments around the country at all levels are obviously committed to helping with this redress scheme. Nobody signed up to it yet, and look, I know the report is about 1,000 pages and it'll take a while to digest, and obviously money is, it's a limited resource, but you're committed, your government, to signing on to that redress scheme, Premier?
Oh yeah, we're absolutely committed and looking forward to be able to do that, and I think all of us are shocked and appalled by what happened. We're deeply sorry to people who've experienced that most horrific trauma. And, let's hope that this commission draws a line in the sand of people making sure they speak up as soon as they see or hear anything or any act that's inappropriate. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than children being abused. And this is a dark period in our history, and we need to do everything we can, firstly, to support those who are recovering from their experiences, but also to ensure that we prevent these offences at every turn.
Chinese influence in Australia has certainly been a hot topic in recent weeks. The Port of Newcastle, which has been privatised by a Liberal National Party state government, it's 50% Chinese and 50% one of the big super funds here in Australia. A lot of secrecy about that contract, and there still is a great reluctance to reveal the wording, particularly pertaining to this preventing Newcastle from having a large container port. Interesting that the recently appointed chair of the Port of Newcastle, Professor Roy Green, has come out publicly and said that the Newcastle region needs a large-scale container terminal. Question without notice, is that a possibility sometime in the future for Newcastle, or will that never happen?
Well, Richard, my understanding was there is still an opportunity to grow containers, but obviously up to a cap, but that would require a trebling of what's available there now. Look, I'm confident that deal is in the best interest of Newcastle, and we need to make a distinction between government and private organisations who invest in New South Wales. And I've got every confidence that arrangement not only will stand the test of time, but will support Newcastle to grow into the thriving port that it is.
I spoke earlier this morning with Meryl Swanson, who's the federal member for Paterson. The Williamtown Red Zone is in her electorate. And I appreciate it's predominantly a federal issue because Defence is responsible for that contamination. But the New South Wales EPA have revealed that they knew well in advance of the public announcement about the problems there, that they did know a lot about it but chose for whatever reason to not do a great deal. Do you think that department, the New South Wales EPA, should be doing more to put pressure on, and your government put pressure on Defence and the federal government to somehow resolve this issue?
Well, we've certainly made our views known to the federal government on numerous occasions. We're doing as best we can within the powers we have as a state government, and we completely empathise with residents who've been impacted. Where I feel that we're doing our bit, absolutely. Would I like to see other governments come to the party as well? Of course. But we've made our views known quite clearly, and we're there to support the residents as much as we can through the EPA and other agencies.
Coming up to 13 to 9, I guess, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian. Look, you said you won't make an announcement on the $10 million for that Centre of Excellence. Can we expect any other major announcements today during your visit to Newcastle?
I said I wouldn't make it today. I didn't say I wouldn't make it.
Okay.
Today is really about meeting with stakeholders, and, I'm a regular visitor to the Hunter and to Newcastle, and I like to keep updated with what's going on. I will be having some private meetings with key community organisations today on a whole range of issues. And I think it's important as Premier to listen and to really get feedback as to how things are progressing from the community's perspective ahead of making our future decisions about this region, which I'm very excited about.
All right. Look, I know you're a big Blues fan, re-State of Origin. Now that Danny Badiris, one of our Knights greats, has been appointed assistant to Brad Fittler, obviously that's a big shot in the arm for the Blues for next year, and we're hopeful of a series win.
Oh, look, absolutely. I've always had my fingers crossed for the Blues, and looking forward, a new year, new hope. You always have hope in a new year.
Oh, definitely.
That's the case in the State of Origin.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much for your time. To you and your family, I hope you have a safe and a happy Christmas, and look forward to further chats next year.
Thank you, Richard. All the best to you and your loved ones as well.
Thank you. Gladys Berejiklian, New South Wales Premier on 2HD. It's